Welcome to another episode of the Cool Tools Show and Tell. Our special guest this week is Mia Kutz. Hey, Mia, would you like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, thanks so much. So my name is Mia Kutz, and I am a senior at Nokomis Regional High in Newport, Maine. And my role here at Nokomis is I work with the broadcasting and tech department directly as sort of a professional development person. And I go around to other schools with Mr. Kelly and help teach new technology initiatives.
Well, it's really great. I think you might be our first high school student on the show. So what a first for that. Thank you for volunteering your time. And I'm really, really interested in seeing what some of your favorite tools are. So, I mean, if you could tell us and maybe show us what your first favorite tool is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first tool I have to show today is the ATM Mini Pro. And so this is an ISO switcher. It's used for live streams. I have it right here.
Can you describe it for us, please?
I absolutely can. So it's a small rectangle tool, and it has a variety of different sized buttons on it, and each button has a different purpose, and there's also separate sections for different things that you're trying to accomplish, which I can go further into detail.
So the size is approximately the size of a keyboard, like a detachable keyboard, or about the same span as a keyboard. And that has maybe, I don't know, a dozen, maybe two dozens of buttons, rectangular buttons, and some of those buttons light up.
Yes.
And it seems to be corded. There's a cord of some sort that comes into it.
Yes. So we plug it directly into just like the wall. We have it plugged into an extension cord right now, but there also is an Ethernet port if you're looking to stream it more efficiently and directly. We use the Ethernet sometimes just because the Wi-Fi here gets pretty crowded, you know, big school.
Okay. So the idea is that this control panel, I guess is what it is, it can be connected wired, or it can do Bluetooth. Is that, or Wi-Fi?
No, Bluetooth, only Ethernet. It has to be plugged into some other source.
Okay.
But it's an isolation tool. So you can stream, or it has four HDMI outputs, and it has an HDMI input as well. And it has two audio outputs. And I'll show you that right there.
Right. So those are the ports on the back that you're showing, standard
yes.
ports. So in general, what do you use this device for?
So we use this device for our weekly MLTI SLAM shows. So MLTI stands for Maine Learning Technology Initiative, and SLAM stands for Student Leadership Ambassadors of Maine. And so what we do is every Thursday we live stream and talk about some new technology that we're learning about. And so this is a really important tool for us because we're streaming and we have multiple different things to show. So right now you're looking at my face, but Mr. Kelly is going to use our ATEM switcher. And now you're looking at our image of an ATEM switcher.
Okay, so it's a control panel for controlling different audio feeds, different video feeds, almost as if you were in a control booth of like a news network or something, where you have screen number one and screen number two, and you have other source of a microphone, and you are kind of managing the like a producer. You're producing something, and you're using this little device to make those decisions. Is that
yes,
about right?
You're absolutely right. So this is actually a mini version of what you were just talking about. So before this came into play, you would have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get one of the really big ones, but that really isn't necessary for something like we're using. We don't need that whole big TriCaster machine like we have in our broadcasting room. We just need something small and portable. And so if Mr. Kelly will hand you back over to my hands, I'm going to show you a little bit of what we do with it. And so right here, I'm pressing buttons 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you can see there how it lights up red whenever I click on each button. And essentially what's that's doing, that is switching between camera 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm Mr. Kelly, camera 1 is my face, camera 2 is my hands.
Right.
And so
right,
then right. That way, this is really seamless.
Right.
And right above each button is where we can control the audio. And so if I'm The audio you're hearing right now is my voice. So I would turn on, I would press the on button for camera one so that you're seeing my face match up with my words. And what another interesting tool here is the audio follows video. So if I turn that on for camera one and camera two, and right now you're looking at my hand, so that'd be camera two. And then I switched it back over to camera one. You would hear whatever audio is coming from camera one. You would not hear whatever audio is coming from camera two.
Okay, that's really
cool.
We
keep it on camera one. We just keep that button right on so that you just hear my voice the whole time.
Okay, so can you remind me of what this is called, the device itself?
Yes, it's called the ATEM Mini Pro ISO Switcher.
ISO Switcher? ISO? Okay.
Yes, ISO is in isolation.
Isolation switcher. Okay. And several things. One is, are there comparable devices like this? Is this the only one like it? Or is this one brand and one model of many kinds?
This is absolutely the best. There's very few that are comparable to it. And this was the first of this kind. This was really kind of a very impactful tool that was created.
So right now, there isn't like a whole bunch of ones that you have to choose from.
No.
And it's around $500, it looks like.
Yes.
And the kind of if you had you had a digital camera and you wanted to set that up, would you be able to plug this into this device?
Yes, using the HDMI.
Okay. So anything with HDMI would be able to go into it. And
yes.
Then audio is, what kind of an audio jack or port does it take?
So we just have these audio ports here. I'm not sure if you can see them super well. Pretty much anything, any standard, just little small port.
It's like a 1/8-inch jack, the old jack for like earphones and things?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's a really great thing. It's a little, your own little media control board, like you're a broadcaster and you're streaming live, doing a complicated Zoom call like we're doing with multiple cameras. That's really fantastic. And as you said, you don't need a big broadcast room. You just need a $500 little device like this. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So Mia, what's a second tool that you're really, really enthusiastic about?
So the second tool I'm super enthusiastic about is going to be the Rode mics. And so these are mini microphones. I'm going to move the ATEM switcher.
Oh, Rode mic, microphone. All right.
Yes, as in microphone. Sorry.
Okay.
Sometimes you just get so desensitized to what you're working with and you call it by the casual name.
Well, no,
Rode mics, and I hustle down to go get them.
I heard Rode mice. So, okay.
Oh.
Rode mics. Okay, so the wireless, the Rode Wireless Go, are these Go's?
Yes, they are.
Go 2. So tell us about those.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Rode mics come, you have your receiver and you have your, I guess would be the input. So I'm not exactly sure how to word that. So each one comes with three sets. Of mics. So here, let me turn them on for you. And I'm going to explain to you why these are different. So right here, you can see that this one has a screen. And so this is going to be for actually testing how the audio is working. If my other one will turn on. Okay, there we go. So I'm speaking directly into this Rode mic right now. And on the screen of the Rode mic, you should be able to see a green bar that is bouncing every time I speak.
Right.
And the further away the mic goes, you can see that it's bouncing less and less and less.
So these little microphones are kind of square. They're little squares that, I don't know, the size of a biscuit or a cracker or something. They're a little bit thicker. So they're very, very small. They fit into the palm of your hand. And there's one for each end. There's one that attaches at the source that's recording, and then one that attaches at the where you want the microphone. Is that about right?
That is exactly correct. So we usually So what we usually do is we usually have one or two mics that are actually taking in the audio, and then we have our one receiver that is connected to a camera, or it's usually a camera, via this little red cord. And this little red cord basically just gives the camera the audio that it's receiving.
The little red cord that you're holding is about 6 inches, and it just has two different plugs on it. One goes into the Rode microphone. The other one goes into the camera audio input.
Yes, correct.
Right. So these little go, and you can have more than one mic device pairing to the same receiver. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So right now I have two audio, not exactly sure what word to use, but these ones right here are the ones that are actually attached to your mic or your person, whatever is capturing the audio. Right. And so if you're doing like an interview and you have multiple different angles, that's what we would really use this for. You would have one attached to the person and one attached maybe to a separate spot. And so our main purpose for this in our school setting and our broadcasting setting is, again, when we travel to other schools and we do our slam shows, our slam showcases, we do interviews and we see how the students are liking what we're doing. And so I have right here a Rode mic handle, and this is attached. We 3D printed this box that says slam show, you know, just to be creative. And so the really awesome thing about these Rode mics is that they have clips on them. I'll show you the back. And what we can do right here is just clip it right in. And then we grab our little foam piece to protect against the wind or anything, pop that right on. And now you have a fully functional mic that looks like you're at the news station.
Right. So this is a little plastic, 3D plastic handle to hold the little Rode device in it, and to make it look like a kind of an interview, a professional TV newscaster's handheld microphone. But in fact, you can also clip them onto your shirt or something if you didn't want to do that. Or I've seen people even do it, clip it onto a baseball hat onto the visor. Or you can also plug in like a lavalier mic into that device. If you really wanted to hide it, you could bury it in with a lav that would have a little cord that would, the device could be on somebody's belt or something in that way.
Yes.
So the other good thing about these is that they can range almost to 100 feet away.
Yes.
There, you can,
which is good if you're doing something like an interview and you're doing multiple different camera angles. That way you can really space yourself out and make it look extremely professional while still maintaining a high quality of audio.
Right. But even better, it's if you're doing a kind of interview where the people are walking around, where they're mobile, if they're working on something or whatever, and you don't want to have cords, this is really good. And finally, I've seen people use this very same device on their iPhone. If they're recording on their iPhone and they want to, again, have the microphone of someone far away, they can use these devices to pair the iPhone in the same way, where you're getting audio from a distance right onto your recording of the video on the iPhone.
Yes.
And so they run, I guess, about $100.
They're a little less than $300.
$300 for a pair or for each one?
For a pair. And that does not include the box that I showed you. The box is its own separate entity, but it's definitely worth the investment to keep your Rode mic safe. And it's its own battery. So you just plug your Rode mics right into this box and it keeps it charged for you.
And the box is, describe that for those.
Yeah, so it's just a small black box, about the size of a small iPhone, just really thick. When you open it up inside, it has three charging ports. And on the front of it, it has an orange box where you can see the charging levels of each Rode mic inside. And on the back of it, there is its own plug-in so that you can charge the box as well.
And the box has a built-in battery?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of like a power block that if you needed to recharge them on the go.
Yes.
So that's really great. Thank you. That's a fantastic thing for anybody who's doing video and wanting to have a very versatile, portable, small, robust microphone.
Yeah, 100%.
So, Mia, what's your third tool that you'd like to share with us?
So the third tool I'm going to share with you guys today is a mute sync. And so this tool right here is a small little box. Can you see it? There we go. Now we
Yes.
can see it.
Right. So, just yeah, go ahead. Keep describing.
Yeah, of course. So what I have here is just it's very similar to the size of the Rode mic, and it's lit up LED wise, and it just has a button in the middle that I press, and now the stream is muted.
So it basically is a very fancy button, the big
Yes.
square button, again, the size of maybe half of a playing card. And
Yes.
it's wired and it does one thing. Is that, I mean, can you program it to do anything and you just happen to program this to mute, or does it, is the muting done by the button?
No, the muting is done by the button. So, I mean, this is a really great tool for us because, we're in a high school when we do a lot of recording in a high school. So it's great to have this visual, the light colored up. And so I'm going to have Mr. Kelly turn the camera back to this view. And so red is muted, and the green, when it lights up green, that the mic is on. The mic's hot. Watch what you say. And so that's just huge for what we use it for.
Right. So it's kind of like an idiot-proof version of whether you are recording or live or not.
Yes, 100%.
Right. I could
And it's
imagine.
also just easy for our director has lots of things to do in the middle of the slam show, and so they know that button is mute, and that's all they have to worry about there.
Right. You'd almost like to have a big red button like that that says whether you're recording or not, too,
Yes.
because that's also sometimes something that's easy to forget. Oh, I forgot to push the record button. Okay, so the mute button. So that is on Amazon, and looks like it's $50 for the
Yes.
button. And so, how does that work? What's it muting? I'm
So
sorry.
it's muting any streams that you're attached to. So right now it's not plugged into our Zoom recording, but we have it plugged into our Google Meets recording. And it automatically, and you can get it as a Google extension as well. So you have easier control over it, and you can control the colors that you set it to. We have ours set to red is mic off, green is mic on. Just, that's what your mind obviously attaches to. But yeah, it's used for streaming. Any live recording, that way when to
So if
mute
you
and when to
were
unmute.
doing a Zoom call, it could mute your end on a Zoom call as well.
Yes.
Okay, so is it actually muting at the device level, or is the software? Well,
It's muting at the device level.
okay, so your whole computer is being muted, or if you, a laptop. Okay,
Yes.
so Mia, tell me about another tool that you are excited by.
All right, so this is my favorite tool. This is like what I'm known for here at Nokomis. And so this tool is called Canva. And I chose this tool because it's free and web-based, and I'm very familiar with it. And so
It's a
pretty much,
website. It's a website
yes.
or an app.
It can be used as an app if you have it on a mobile device, and it is also a free web-based site. Yeah, and so pretty much anything under the sun you're looking to create, you should use Canva. And so the first little creation I want to show you here is a data table I made for my science fair project. My science fair project is the effect of vaping on athletics, and I was really kind of stumped because my poster board looks great. And then I have this really ugly data table. And I was like, I don't know how I can make it look any better. And so I went into Canva. I was brainstorming, playing around, and I came out with this amazing looking graphic here that doesn't really look like a data table, but is still presenting all of the information that I needed to present.
Okay.
And it's very user-friendly. It has custom color options. It has custom text options. And if you are a business owner, you can create your own business logo, color, and font within Canva.
So if you were to compare Canva to, say, a professional level kind of app, would it be close to something like Illustrator, or would it be close to something like Photoshop, or what would you say the closest analog is for an app that somebody might have heard of that professionals use?
Well, it's comparable to those, but I think it's significantly easier. There's something in the Adobe Cloud. I can't exactly remember the name of it now. Express. Mr. Kelly had me play with it, and I still would choose Canva over Adobe Express because it's just more user-friendly. And again, like I mentioned earlier, it's free. It's web-based. You're always going to have access to it. And that is really, I really appreciate that.
Right. And so there are, again, some free, I would call them maybe Illustrator programs. And you can do an awful lot even within Google Docs and Google Draw, but on Canva, does it do things like Bezier curves, where you have the little function of the curve function?
Yes. So within Canva, you have,
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So within Canva, you have, I would say, a lot more creative freedom than you would in Google Slides or Google Docs, because you have free movement on Google Docs. You can't move your text box wherever you want them to. And you have the effects tool on Canva. And so when you are working with text on Canva, you can add a background, you can add it, you can make it neon, you can make it curved, and you can, and whatnot in that sense. And so I'm going to have Mr. Kelly show my next slide here. This is something I did for my senior project. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to show how I met my guiding principle standpoints to graduate. And so I was able to create boxes, and I attached a link there at the top. I can't click on the link on this live stream, but that link goes to the work that I have done in Milty Slam. Right. And so you can attach links in Google Slides, and in Google Docs. But I would say that in Canva, it's a little bit easier because it will open it up right within the presentation. Yep. It won't take you to a separate slide.
Does Canva work with layers?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So yeah, so it sounds like it's very similar to your Adobe Illustrator kind of in terms of this functionality in kind of at least at the minimum level. So you can do layers, you can do edge detection, tracing, maybe these curves. It's sort of more vector oriented rather than bit based. So that's really good, and it's free, as you said. And it's web based, so you don't have to download another app onto your computer. It's just a website that you go to.
Yes, correct. Something that I think is super also interesting about Canva is that you can custom the size to whatever you're looking to do. And so the slide that Mr. Kelly just had up is sized exactly to be made for a social media post. Mm-hmm. I created this for one of my friends who just committed to play college softball. And so I worked with layers here, I worked with grading, I worked with transparency, obviously text, images, background remover, and so I would say that, I definitely prefer Canva as opposed to other options because it's so user-friendly when it comes to changing the size. Google Slides is not very user-friendly when you're going to custom make the size. Mm. Like when I say size, I mean like 1,050 pixels by 1,080 pixels or 24 inches by 18 inches.
Right,
when you create a Google Slides, you're pretty much making it whatever size, whatever how many pixels that Google Slide is.
And the Canvas, you did those background removals with Canva, the built-in tools in Canva?
Yes.
That's really very good. That's a very high powered tool. And I presume you can export any kind of a file format that you want from a PDF to whatever, a PostScript maybe even. I don't know.
Yes, so actually another thing that Canva has is it has the option to export directly to a print product site. So if you, again, like if you're running a business and you needed to make t-shirts for your business, you can upload your logo directly into a t-shirt format on Canva and then send it to a print site to have it printed directly onto t-shirts.
Okay. Well, that is a fabulous find. Thank you, Mia, for that. Canva, I mean, right now, and the minimum I'm sure for buying Illustrator or whatever on Adobe is hundreds of dollars a year. So this is a
Yeah.
great alternative. So thank you for that. So, Mia, tell me whether you have anything else that you want to share with our audience, what you're working on or something that you're really enthusiastic about these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the thing that I'd like to talk about and share with the listeners, is the Slam Show. I have mentioned it briefly throughout this podcast, but really this is an amazing initiative, and it has really changed my view on my future and really has helped me develop into the young woman that I am. So basically what we do is once a month we go into other schools and we go into their classrooms and we teach them about things that we know super well. So for me, I always go and I teach Canva, but the other students who go, they teach Tinkercad and they teach CoSpaces, sorry. And so the common factor between all of these is that they are free and they are web-based, because no matter what, we're trying to spread the wealth of knowledge and the love of learning. And students aren't going to be able to go home and just drop $100 on Adobe Illustrator, as you had mentioned. So anything that we can offer them that is free and that we think is interesting is super beneficial. And as I've talked about, we use these tools every day. And so every Thursday, when we can't go into a school, we do a live broadcast where we talk about a website of the week, and we have someone come and present on a free web-based site.
Right. I know that your program, I think, is pretty integrated into the Maine school system. But if someone was not in Maine, someone in the rest of the country, would they be able to access your Slam Show? And would they find it useful as well?
Yes, they absolutely would. We had people from Ireland join our Slam Show, and we have a YouTube channel that is accessible 24/7.
And so, what would a typical show be? Like, say, what was the last show you did? What did you cover in that show?
So the last show we did, we have someone who comes and sits exactly where I'm sitting. We have a camera exactly where I'm looking, and we have someone welcome everyone to the Slam Show. They welcomed the presenter, and the presenter came in and talked about Google Slides and animation with Google Slides. And then we would send it back to the host, who is me in this instance, who will then introduce the website of the week, which usually isn't necessarily educationally related, just a fun website, because we're trying to keep learning fun and we want to get kids interested in technology in any way, shape, or form. And so I would then send it over to the director, in this case, Mr. Kelly, who would use the ATEM switcher and show this video. And then it would be sent back to me, where I talk about the Slam exam, which is a one question quiz about that day's show topic. And it's a really awesome chance for every student who's participating to win a Slam cube, which is just a fidget cube that we 3D print in-house, and then we ship out to whoever wins.
And the first part where you're having someone introduce Google Slides, they were doing a how-to or tutorial, or what was?
Yes, it's usually tutorial based, and it's we Mr. Kelly always preaches that his students will learn by teaching, and so that's why almost everything here is very student-centered. All of our basketball games are announced by students. Mr. Brown, who works with Mr. Kelly, helps us with that, and Mr. Kelly is obviously always giving us the opportunities. I mean, how many, like you said, I'm the first high school student you've had on the podcast, and so this program and this initiative has really helped get more people into technology, and it's given way more opportunities. I have a lot of connections now because of this program and because of Mr. Kelly. And so that's really awesome, especially as I'm going into education.
Well, you sound like a born teacher. I really wish you the best. Thank you again taking time from your, I know, a very busy day to share with me and us and the Cool Tool audience your four favorite tools. I really appreciate it and the care you took in preparing and the professionalism in your presentation. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
This year, our Cool Tools blog will be 20 years old, which means we've been posting something new every day for 20 years. It's only possible because of the very engaged and knowledgeable readers and listeners like yourself. You've kept this place going, and we are very grateful for you. With this idea of 20 years in mind, we decided to try an experiment this year. And I'm inviting our guests and listeners to join me on our Cool Tool Show and Tell, which is the program that you're listening to right now. So if you feel you'd make a good guest on this podcast and have four uncommon tools that you'd like to share with us, please sign up on our form on the website and we'll see about inviting you. You must be comfortable talking on a video and you need to have some tools that you can show. We record on, as you know, on Zoom. We do a YouTube version, a video version of it, as well as an Audible version. Fill out the form if you're interested and list your four cool tools, and we'll see if there's a good fit. The applications aren't guaranteed in any way, and we're looking at tools that are new to us and appropriate tools and whether the times will work for you. So we're really interested in hearing from people all over the world, not just in the U.S., although the tools have to be available online, easily available online. And if you are a longtime listener, you kind of know what the definition of our tools are. They're very broad. They can be anything that's handy, from something in the kitchen to something you use to travel to a workshop to something professional that we may not know about. We're really interested in things that we don't know anything about. So this is an open invitation. We'll give it a try. If you think you make a good guest for this podcast, fill out the form. There'll be a link somewhere on our website. And we look forward to chatting with you. Thank you.